TalkZone.com.
Now, TalkZone presents the Ute Sports Fan Forum with your host, the coach, John Cone. This is the show that covers all topics relating to the wonderful world of sports our kids play. Here's your host for the Ute Sports Fan Forum, the coach, John Cone.
And welcome to edition number 3 of the Ute Sports Fan Forum. Thank you so much for joining us. It's a beautiful Thursday here. We are doing the TalkZone.com show out of the fine city of Chicago. If you're just tuning in for the first time, we much appreciate it. Kind of a different show that we are attempting to put together. It's one day a week on Thursdays, and we're going to do it at this time slot. If you're listening live, obviously from 11 till 12 o'clock Central Time, and we are trying to gear the show specifically to youth sports. Now, not so much the high school sports, because certainly in the last 5, 10, or 15 years, high school sports, which previous to that really didn't get a whole lot of publicity. Now there's websites, there are blogs, the newspapers, at least in the Chicago area. I'm pretty sure most other cities doing a pretty good job of covering high school sports. So that's really not the area we're going to delve into that much. We're going to try to localize a little bit more specifically on the kindergarten through eighth grade youth sports programs. It might be swimming, it might be tennis, it might be soccer, baseball, whatever youth sport it is, some of the many issues involved in that. I want to hear everything from funny stories to dramatic stories, interesting things that happen, maybe controversial topics. If you're looking for some advice, some questions, we will try to provide that on the show. Anything youth sports related, that is what we are going to be talking about here. Our phone number, if you want to check in on the TalkZone.com, I am riding solo today, so if you want to be the co-pilot for the show, you, the guest, can do that by checking in at 888-463-6748. That's our phone number here, 888-GO-FOR-IT. We also have an email. If you want to send any questions or comments to, it's ysfanforum.com. We, of course, have a website, which is also ysfanforum.com. I should say ysfanforum at AOL.com. That is our email address. And in the first couple of shows, this is show number 3. We've dealt with a little bit on baseball. I remember last week we had a scintillating conversation on travel basketball, travel football, and how extensive the travel should be for kids and at what age. We can certainly continue in on that discussion. One thing I wanted to bring up today is how young should kids be when they're getting into sports programs? And I know in our community and surrounding communities, the programs, which used to be for 7, 8, 9-year-olds, and then they went down to like 6 years old. And then they went down to like 5 years old. And a couple of days ago, we had our neighbor whose kid I thought was about 2 years old, but you know, time flies when you're having fun. I guess the kid just turned 4 years old. She knocks on the door and she asks, "Hey, John, what programs can he sign up for? Now, is he old enough for T-ball? Is he old enough for soccer?" And in fact, in our community at age 4, he is now. 4 years old. I mean, that's pretty young. And I think, and again, I would love to hear from some listeners involved in it, 888-463-6748. I think a little bit of that is the competition between the different youth sports programs. Let's just take, for example, baseball versus soccer. And hopefully our administrators of these organizations, I would hope in a perfect world, are working together to provide, you know, quality youth services for whatever community they are involved in. And by the way, if you are a youth sport administrator and you have a comment or you want to promote your particular program, we can do that on the show also. Yes, Mr. David Olson.
I just wanted to say in my community, which is Park Ridge, Illinois, they do have T-ball and soccer for 3 and 4 year olds.
3 and 4.
Yes.
Yeah, and I know your community, which has a number one ranked state football team also, and some people don't think this is right, they offer tackle football through a program, I believe, called the Park Ridge Falcons for second graders.
Yes, yes.
First and second graders playing tackle football. What do you think about that? Positive, negative? And I don't think, you know, people, oh, injuries, are one, you know, at first and second grade. Injuries is really not a factor. Even at first and second grade, I think we talked about this last week, there's more injuries in soccer than there is in football, because at second grade you don't get that many big kids. But even beyond the injury aspect, should first and second graders be playing, you know, putting on shoulder pads in all the equipment and playing tackle football.
I did.
You were a member of the Falcons? No, you didn't.
No. I played for the Lamont Hornets, which is in the southwest suburbs, but I was playing tackle football.
Tackle football?
Yeah. Full gear, helmet, everything. Yeah.
And you can't, I mean, they can't even get the center snap correct, right?
Oh, yeah. It's just like you line the kids up and just let them go. Nobody knows what's going on.
And, you know, and the other thing, like a Chinese fire drill.
Exactly.
Or like, you know the old electric football games? You remember those games?
Yep.
You put the thing, and you turn on the little the switch, and all of a sudden, the players start going all over.
Yep, exactly.
That's probably an accurate description of what second grade tackle football would be. But I don't know. It just seems like it's awful young to get kids involved. But what it is competition. And again, you know, in a perfect world, all the youth administrators are working together. Again, as I said, to provide quality sports programming to community. But what happens is the baseball coaches, you know, see that soccer all of a sudden is offered it to age 7-year-olds. And previous, they started T-ball at 8. Well, they don't want those kids getting, you know, hooked into soccer. Now they won't play baseball. So the next year, the baseball organization offers it to 7-year-olds. Well, the soccer organization, a couple of years down the road, you know, it offers it to 6-year-olds. And the baseball organization sees that, they bring it down to 6, another year or two down to 5, and over about a 5 to 8 year period, you are now down to 4-year-olds playing organized with jerseys, with coaches. Now I understand it's not highly competitive and it's strictly recreational, but still. It seems like, in my particular opinion, that might be a little bit young, but that's certainly one of the issues we would delve into. How young do you get into organized sports? And you even said, David, down to 3-year-old. I mean, how do you coach those kids? Attention span. I remember coaching T-ball, you know, at age 6 and 7. And the kids were wandering all over. You know, you got a catcher, a pitcher, and of course the coach pitches at age 5 or 6. And then you got a couple of infielders, and then if I remember correctly, you got like 21 outfielders. You got kids wandering all over the outfield, and the kid hits a ground ball to the pitcher. The runner runs to first base. You overthrow first base. All the parents are yelling. The kid waits 5 seconds, realizes, oh, yes, I can go to second base. He goes to second base. The kids pick up the ball, throw it to second base. It overthrows or rolls past the second baseman, and there's like 18 backup left fielders. None of those 18 kids realize the ball is there. The coaches are yelling at the kid who's on second base. He decides to run to third base. The kid then throws it, one of the 18 outfielders at some point, finally realizes that instead of the grass, there's actually a baseball out there. He runs to go pick up the baseball, throws it to the third baseman, who, of course, is not paying attention. The ball rolls into the dugout. The coach is yelling at his players. All the kids are yelling for the kid on third base to run home. The kid, after waiting 6 or 7 seconds, who's on third base, does run home, and the ground ball to the pitcher happily becomes a home run, and we all live happily ever after. Is that a pretty good T-ball depiction? Oh, goodness. 888-463-6748, Youth Sports. I have coached it for many, many years. I love it at all aspects of it. You can talk some positives, talk some negatives, but it's a great thing. Sports are fun. They're what games people play, and we talked about it last week, too. So many, if properly coached, so many life lessons the kids can get from it, and we do emphasize to the coaches out there, don't just coach the sport. Don't just coach how to throw the football or how to bounce the basketball or how to pitch the baseball, but use opportunities, maybe something that happened in the news, maybe something that happened in your last game. Use the opportunities. Make it age appropriate, but try to teach the kids some things beyond the sport, some life lessons, if you will. It makes the coaching experience more fun, and I think it completes the sporting experience. The Youth Sports Fan Forum, we are open for business, our third ever edition. If you want to chime in, we'd love to hear from you. 888-463-6748. I'm the coach, John Cone. My producer, David, my bodyguard, Olson. We will take a quick break. Back in a minute. More fun to come. It's the Youth Sports Fan Forum.
Let's return to more of the Youth Sports Fan Forum on TalkZone.com. Once again, here's your host, the coach, John Cone.
And again, thanks for joining us here on the TalkZone.com. We're talking youth sports. We do it every Thursday from 11 till 12 Central Time. If you're out east, it's your lunchtime show. If you're out in the west, you're waking up to the Youth Sports Fan Forum. What better way to wake up? What better way to start your morning than to talk youth sports? Well, I could probably think of a couple ways, but it's, you know, it's in the top 10 anyways. Our phone number here, 888-463-6748. Again, you can email us at ysfanforum@aol.com. Any questions, any thoughts you have related to the fine topic of youth sports? We are currently entering the basketball season, winter sports, and of course, there really is no off season, and that's certainly one of the topics we can get into in youth sports. There used to be an off season. Used to play basketball for 3 months and then maybe 3.5 months, and then it was on to the baseball season. Or used to play football or soccer in the fall. Hey, nice season, guys. You know, great job. We'll have a little team party, a little pizza, a little barbecue, whatever it might be. On to the next activity. We'll see you in 9 months. Now, for many of the teams out there, it's still the pizza party. It's still the barbecue after the 3 month soccer football season. But, guys, I want you to take a week off. Maybe if you got a really nice travel team code, take a couple of weeks off and we'll see you for our indoor practices at the so-and-so center in about 3 weeks. And we'll be practicing once or twice a week over the winter. Oh, we're going to give you Christmas off, by the way, holiday break, so that we can better prepare ourselves for next spring or for next fall. So, that, you know, that's true of high school teams, certainly of college teams, but I think it's gotten down now into youth sports, too, with travel teams, too. That's a controversial area. Positive side of it is, hey, you got coaches putting in time. You're giving these kids further training. There are some positives. But I would argue there's some negatives, too, that year-round activities, maybe too much, maybe a little, if not physical burnout, maybe mental burnout, but that's certainly one of the topics we could hash around here on the Youth Sports Fan Forum, the year-round sports, getting down to youth sports, even second, third, and fourth graders doing it. And it applies to every sport. Tennis, I'm sure, is the same way. Volleyball, I know many of the girls playing volleyball, fourth, fifth, sixth grade guys now too. Boys volleyball is getting big. You know, the coaches start telling the kids as they start entering junior high, maybe they're in junior high, hey, you know, go ahead and play basketball in the winter. That's fine. But if you want to be a really top high school player in volleyball, you can't play basketball in the winter. You have to play club volleyball. So, you know, it's good for the individual kids' specific sporting development, but is it good for their all-around development? That's really the essence, I think, of a lot of the questions of youth sports. Is it, you know, it may be good for the team, it may be good for the player, but is it good for the all-around well-being, education, upbringing of the particular kid we're talking about? 888-463-6748, one of the phone, or our phone number here on the Youth Sports Fan Forum, one of the topics, I should say, that we will be discussing. Again, our email, ysfanforum@aol.com. We mentioned winter sports starting now, swimming, certainly volleyball, basketball, many basketball teams starting. And your early season practices, I'd like to hear maybe from some coaches out there, maybe running some practices. What are some good things to do, some not so good things to do early in the season as you prepare your team? Many of our coaches, not coaching a high school sport, coaching a youth sport team, you might only have maybe once or twice a week with your team. And it's very tough to prepare them for the season. You want to put some plays in. You want to teach some team stuff, but you also got to teach fundamentals. Maybe you only have an hour and a half to practice. You have to kind of strategize your practice time, and where do you gear it to? Do you want to get your plays in and have an organized offense or a defense, or do you gear it a little bit more? And I think I would personally lean a little bit more this way. You know what? You work on the fundamentals. You get skilled kids, and I think a lot of us as coaches, and I'm as guilty as any, think we can instill our own special plays and our own special offenses and maybe try to out-coach or out-guess or out-X and O the other coach. But the bottom line is, and we'll take the sport of basketball, if your kids can dribble, if they can shoot it, if they can pass it, if they're in pretty good condition, they can get up and down the court, it doesn't matter what offense you run. It does not matter what offense you run. If they can do those things, you're going to be in pretty good shape. I coach a high school basketball team, and we are a small school team. A lot of the kids are in the, because it's such a small school, they're in the school play. They had a week before practice that they call interim week where the kids don't go to school that week, but they are sent out into the community to do various service projects. So we lost the kids for one, not totally, but part of one of our 2 weeks of preseason training. And we had our first game yesterday, and we just haven't had a lot of time to prepare. One of the things, believe it or not, before, and this is a high school varsity girls team, we came into our first game, we had zero out-of-bounds plays. We just didn't have time. I mean, we could have put it in. You can do, I guess the old saying, you can do a lot of things average or you can do a few things well. And the more I've coached, I've found it's better to teach the kids a little bit more limited amount of things and make sure they know it and teach it well, and you try to build from there. So we had zero out of bounds plays. And what we told them before the game is we basically said, hey, line up anywhere you want, space it out. And when the referee gives the inbound or the ball, just move. Screen, cut, break for the ball. We don't care what you do, is move. And we said we would call out, going to totally confuse the other team. We had names. We would call out 45, Mississippi, Oklahoma, Arizona 72, Blue 45. We're calling out all these plays. And, of course, none of them anything. We had no out-of-bounds plays in. Today we're going to practice them. But for the first game we didn't, the kids spread out. And you know what? Mississippi and Oklahoma and 32 Blue and Red Square Left worked every bit as well as the actual plays we're going to put in. Again, the kids were just to move and get open. That's what they did. And to be honest with you, it was not any less effective. It was about equally effective as our organized out-of-bounds plays that we're going to put in, like your typical box and stack and dive and a line and a couple others. So that's an example, I think, sometimes how we can outthink ourselves maybe as coaches and too much X and an O. But I'd like to hear any basketball coaches listening to the program. If you have any hints, some tips, maybe you're looking for some advice for basketball practices early in the season, preparing your team for a game, maybe some interesting plays you've tried. Again, we're gearing it a little bit more towards the youth level, kids in sports. 888-463-6748. The phone number, ysfanforum.com, or I'm sorry, ysfanforum@aol.com is the email. You can email in your questions or any advice you might have. We'll try to read some of those out over the air. Again, ysfanforum@aol.com. So, certainly basketball is a sport that I coach and a topic I am close to, but if you're a swimming coach out there or a tennis or any of our winter sports, what are we missing? Gymnastics? Well, there's a whole world, I'm sure, of youth gymnastics out there. I mean, you talk about kids starting early. You got parents getting kids into gymnastics at the age of 2 and 3. I think some of those gymnastics centers. You start off with a forward roll and a backward roll. At age, they start doing that at about 1.5 years. And next thing you know, at age 5, they're doing the double twist or rotator off the balance beam. I mean, I don't know how they do it. The gymnasts are, I have the utmost respect for gymnasts. I can't imagine a tougher. When I watch the female gymnasts, or the guys, but the guys don't do the balance beam, so I'm going to say the females. When I watch the female gymnasts on the balance beam, and they do like a flip, and they land on that balance beam, or they do a cartwheel, or any one of their many moves where they're jumping up and landing on that, what would you say that is, about 2.5 inches? On the balance beam, I mean, that's unbelievable. My gymnastics career ended at the forward roll. Actually, I did the backward roll pretty good. The cartwheel got me. Could not do the cartwheel, and I was a pretty good headstander, too. I got to about a B- on the handstand, and then that was about it for my gymnastics career. And I remember, actually, as a PE teacher, I had to teach gymnastics. It's my second job out of school. As a PE teacher, I felt perfectly comfortable teaching the basketballs and the footballs and the soccers of the world. But then I saw the units that were part of our curriculum. And I had to teach gymnastics. And I had to teach dance. Two activities that definitely were about as low as you can get on my scale of expertise. And I was in complete fear of teaching those two particular activities. And one thing I learned as each year teaching it, I got less fearful. One thing I learned, and you can certainly use this as a coach, is use the kids to demonstrate. Use the kids to demonstrate if you can't do it, even if you can do it, because the other kids will be able to mimic what another kid is doing. Use skilled player. I always tell the basketball coaches that basketball kids that I coach, copy good things. Different people do different things well. Maybe one girl on the team, really, she's not the most skilled player, but she boxes out real well. Well, watch Rebecca box out and learn from her. And maybe Sarah is an outstanding ball handler, really works on her ball handling drills. You know what? Different people do different things well. Pick up those things that they do from that particular person. Maybe one of the girls on your team is just a great defender, really gets after it and talking on the court all the time. Or the guys. Use that particular guy as an example. Follow people that do things well. And that's certainly something I use as a PE teacher. I had the kids demonstrate. And I remember after 3, 4, 5 years, I actually enjoyed it. I looked forward to the gymnastics unit. And believe it or not, David Olson, I know you. I mean, we've only known each other for 3 weeks, but you probably know me well enough to know that I would not exactly be a great dance teacher. But over the course of the years, and I couldn't even use kids to demonstrate, I actually began to learn to get less fearful and actually enjoy the dance unit. I actually taught square dance. Made up my own calls. Wasn't bad. Should try it someday. And then when the Chicago Bears Super Bowl year, that's when I was teaching back in 85. So remember the line dances were big back then. I actually taught the kids. Now, I didn't sing it, believe me. But I actually taught the kids, the hustle? The line dance? I think it was the hustle. I actually taught the kids the hustle to the tune of the Super Bowl shuffle. So here's Mr. Basketball Coach here, Mr. Baseball Coach teaching dance. But you know what? After a while, I enjoyed it. And then I remember the final day of the dance unit, I would let the kids bring in any music they want. Back then, you didn't have to worry about that. Nowadays, I don't think the teacher can do that. You have to screen most of the music, sadly enough, that might be played at your local grade school or on your radio that the kids are listening to. But I had the kids bring in any music they want, turn off the lights in the gym. These were fifth and sixth graders, and it was still light enough in the gym that there was nothing going on. But I would let them just free dance for one day. Bring in your own music, do whatever you want. And typically, if there were 30 kids in a class, 28 of the kids would be the proverbial wallflower. And I'm sure back then, as a kid, that's exactly where I would have been come the dance unit, the wallflower. But a couple kids would come out there and start dancing, and then maybe one more, and maybe another one. So if I could teach a dance unit, if you're out there coaching a youth sports team you're not that comfortable with, maybe you just volunteered to coach your kids' team, you don't know that much about it, we can help you through it. There's information via the internet. We can help you here on the Youth Sports Fan Forum. That's what we're all about. If I can teach dance, you can coach a sport, folks. No question about it. 888-463-6748, the phone number. We're going to take a quick break here. Again, you can email us at ysfanforum@aol.com. Anybody who would like to see videos of me teaching square dance or videos of me teaching the line dance. Fortunately, YouTube was not invented back then. And David, as far as I know, those films, those pictures can never be seen.
Thank heaven for small favors.
Yes, indeed.
Phone lines are open on the Youth Sports Fan Forum. 888-GO-FOR-IT. Once again, here's your host, the coach, John Cone, on TalkZone.com.
Once again, it's the coach, John Cone. I'm not sure I like the way the guy says that once again, but I'm right back at you. Our third ever edition of the Youth Sports Fan Forum brand new show. Brand new show we are debuting here on the TalkZone.com. Thank you so much for joining us. If you are listening, enjoying the program, spread the word, pass it on any way you can. Help the cause. We're trying to get the show to go a little bit each and every Thursday here. We're going to be doing it 11 o'clock till 12 o'clock Central Time, geared specifically for the youth sports fan out there, be it the coach, be it the parent. Maybe some of the kids aren't in school. A lot of kids, once the show gets popular, who knows, kids will be probably skipping school to come home from at 11 o'clock to listen to the Youth Sports Fan Forum. Who knows? Maybe it'll get that popular, maybe not. We hope we're not advocating truancy or kids leaving school, but that's what we're all about here at the Youth Sports Fan Forum. Our email, is open at ysfanforum@aol.com. You can call us at 888-463-6748. We did have an email come in during the break, Bolingbrook Bob, wanting to know about picking teams, and apparently his team that was chosen via the local recreation department for basketball, he says the teams were not picked evenly. Do you have any advice on how to split teams up? Boy, that's about as sensitive a topic, and I'm sure different communities deal with it differently. And again, Bob sent his email in at ysfanforum@aol.com. But I will tell you, and if any people have advice on that, maybe your community's had a pretty good way of dividing the teams, be it parents picking, the coaches picking, the local rec department. Maybe it's the board president with a couple of directors that do it. I'm sure there's all different ways, some good, some not so good. If you have thoughts on that, maybe you've been with a successful program and you want to pass it on. Maybe you've been with one that didn't work and you want to make sure other communities don't do that. 888-463-6748. I will tell you that from my experience, the single biggest key to any league is balanced competition. If you've got teams, and this applies to probably a little bit less so individual sports, because I'm not as familiar with the swimmings and the tennis and the golfs of the world, but I would imagine it would apply there too, but definitely in team sports. And I don't care if it's at the travel, super A, elite level, or whatever they like to call themselves, or way down at the very most basic recreation and house league, balanced competition. If you have even teams, 89.5% of the problems associated with that league will be solved. Not saying it's the perfect solution, but if you've got balanced competition, for the most part, that league is going to be a success. Win or lose, close games, even games, hardly fought battles, that's what the parents want to see. That's what the coaches enjoy coaching. And certainly for the kids playing the game, that is when it's most fun. You know, winning a game in a blowout, you know, and sometimes you get a team, you know, powerhouse stacked team, and they're going to win a ton of games. It's fun. It is fun a little bit to win that much. Obviously, on the opposite end of it, if you're on one of the teams that was not fairly divided and you're getting hammered game in, game out, definitely not fun. But I think it's a lot more fun if out of your 22-game schedule, 17 or 18 of those games are close, are even battles. And you might win some, and you might lose some, but you know what? You're in the game, and you're playing. And a lot of people think, you know, winning is what it's all about, and sports winning isn't everything. It's the only thing, yada, yada, yada. I've always lived by the philosophy, winning is important, winning is secondary. The most important thing to me is competing. Losing is not the worst thing. It's not good. It's not a good feeling. Those of us that are in sports, for the most part, we're competitive. Losing is not the worst thing. Not being able to compete, that's the worst thing. If you're playing in a tournament, in one of those double elimination tournaments, to me, when I'm coaching or back when I was playing, the thrill of winning is that you got to play another game. You advance in the tournament. And you get to play at an even more intense level, and you get those competitive juices going and the adrenaline going again. And you get that great sports high, if you want to use that word. Okay. And the winning is fun. But to me, the biggest thing was you win that game, you advance, and you get to do it again. You get to compete. And when you lose, the loss is tough. The losing's painful. The worst part about losing again to me is you don't get to compete. So there is things worse than losing. It's not being able to be in the game, not being able to compete. Those of you that have suffered an injury where you have to sit out 2-3 months and watch on the sidelines, you know, you could well relate to that. That's where you really appreciate being in the game, being in the game. So an answer to Bolingbrook Bob's, well, I haven't answered him yet, but I will preface it by saying I really strongly feel in any league, again, from the elite level down to the recreation or house league, the most important thing. If you got balanced competition, even teams, you are halfway home. You're 2/3 of the way home. You're 4/5 of the way home. Not all your problems are solved, but that league is going to be a successful league. And the kids are going to have a lot of fun. The coaches are going to have a lot of fun. And the parents are too. 888-463-6748. Our phone number here, ysfanforum@aol.com. If you want to send in an email, now how do you pick the teams? In answer to Bolingbrook Bob's question, that's a tough one. That is a tough one. One that I've never been a big fan of is the dads that are coaching, and I don't want to eliminate the moms, and that's a whole other topic, but we'd love to see a lot more moms coaching. You look at girls' sports right now, and it's still, what, 80% guys, dads coaching the teams? So I'm all about the mom, the sister, any females we can get into coaching, ideally, coaching a girls' team, because the girls need those role models, but I love it. You don't see it often, but I absolutely love it when you see a female coaching a guy's team. I think that is such a great thing, especially for the guys, because I think it's a learning experience unto itself. Hopefully the female is coaching the team. Doesn't have to be an expert, but hopefully she's somewhat competent. And that's a great learning example, a great lesson on sexism, if you will, or against sexism, that the kids learn at an early age. So I love the fact that you could get a female coaching a guy's team. It doesn't happen often. I'd like to see more of it. But the picking of the team, such a tough thing. Such a tough way. And the one that I'm not a big fan of is, and again, I'll use the dads because that's what it usually is. And maybe an example would be Little League Baseball because that seems to be a common area. And I know it is in our community. So you get the dads together and you have what they call the draft. And I have been involved in this and I've got caught up into it again. You know, at times I can talk like a reasoned quasi-professional, but believe me, I'm at times as bad as anybody else out there. I'm competitive. I have got caught up into it. I've done the travel team circuit too, so I am by no means a saint when it comes to youth sports, and I've been part of that draft. And when the kids were, I think the first time was like when they were 9 years old. 9 years old. So first we have a tryout day where the kids have to check in. And it's very formalized. Now, you think about what's going on the kid's mind. This is all new to them. But you've got the adults at the table. This is for baseball. For the good old innocent game of baseball. The kids, we just go out to the park and play. Toss out a ball, split up teams and play. But no, they have to come in March or February. Maybe it's in November. Teams are starting fall so that nobody signs up for soccer. We got to get you hooked in for baseball for next year. And they go into the indoor field house, maybe at the high school. And they go to the table and they have to check in with their parent. And then they have, you know, they get a number attached to them. Maybe it's stapled in. Maybe it's pinned in, but they are now number 112 or they're number 47. And then they are brought in and separated from their parents. And they now go to the bleachers. And you now have 28 adult coaches with clipboards and pencils walking around the field house, looking very, very serious. A couple of the Yahoo coaches might have stopwatches on. And the kids are sitting waiting for their number to be called so they can throw their five pitches. And they can feel their five ground balls. Nine-year-old kids, and they're watching this. And it's seeping in. And what subconsciously is happening is they are then taking on they're following what the adults do. They're mimicking the adult thought process and what they're doing physically, and they start to add much more importance to the activity than it really should be. They see the parents and the dads taking it so serious, and then they start to take it serious. And you can imagine how nervous the kids were, and I always felt guilty. And in fact, after doing it for a year or two, I did not go to the tryouts anymore and didn't have my kid go to the tryouts either. Most of the parents knew him anyways. Fifth round draft choice. He was not a star. Left-handed pitcher, good changeup. No fastball. He had to throw a changeup. Actually, his fastball was his changeup. But so that, Bolingbrook Bob and the whole issue of picking teams, that would be one of my least favorite ways to do it, is to have tryouts and then the dads with the clipboards rating the kids in February. And here's another aspect of it. You've got kids that are trying to impress the 28 coaches with the clipboards and the two Yahoo guys wearing the stopwatches, all very serious and intense and rating the kids because they want to pick their best team. They want to win when the season starts in the middle of April. So they look good and they have bragging rights on the block. And you've got kids that haven't thrown a ball. Haven't thrown a ball since last year. But now they get out there and they've got five pitches to impress the dads, the coaches. So they're going to throw it as hard as they can, right? Well, they haven't stretched out. There's no athletic trainer there loosening up the kid. They're going to throw it as hard as they can. So you have kids, maybe, probably exaggerating a little bit, but It's not the healthiest thing in the world to throw. You get five, you throw five hardest balls you can without any warm up at all. So after that whole process is done, you're there. The kids probably are there for an hour, hour and 15 minutes. Their actual activity time, probably 3 minutes. They sit and watch and let the tension build up for the other hour and 12 minutes and 12 seconds. Okay? And then, you know, 3 days later, 4 days later, you sit down with the coaches on a Saturday morning or Saturday afternoon. And this can be, you know, someone could write a TV show on the youth board baseball coaches draft. I mean, it's unbelievable. I will never forget my first draft. I came in and I had the board, the baseball board had their own rating sheets. So I got a clipboard, four or five sheets, each of the kids with the board member ratings. Okay. Then I had another set of papers in a folder, which were the ratings from last year's coaches on their eight-year-old kids. So I had these kids, what their coaches thought last year. I had the board members' ratings and then my own clipboard and or file or whatever. I had the sheets of paper from my own ratings. So you get the draft, you know, you're picking first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, wherever you might be. The draft is going around. The tension is building. All these dads taking it unbelievably serious. And I'm looking through three different charts of papers trying to keep everything organized. And I still remember like a half an hour into it. And I was into it in the beginning. You get caught up in the whole process. It's like a kid in a candy factory. You feel like you're drafting your own little mini major league team. But I remember after half an hour, I sat back for a second and I looked around at the room. And I looked at the other coach and I looked at myself with my sheets of paper, three different files of sets with different things and ratings and pitching and running and attitude and hitting. And of course they always rate the team mom too, or the kid's mom. There's an old adage, Dave, and any of our moms out there, I hope I don't offend you, but when in doubt, if two kids are equal, you always choose the one with the better-looking mom. Now, that, of course, is not one I, as a true professional, would profess to. But many of the coaches, so there's, you know, there's a unofficial rating for the kid's mom. But so, yeah, I stepped back. I was like, what the hell am I doing here? I'm looking through three different sets of charts. We got people smoking cigarettes here to places like people that didn't even smoke were smoking for the draft. There was that much pressure. Nine-year-old baseball. The draft. So there's got to be better ways to do it, folks. There's got to be better ways to pick it than to have a bunch of overzealous dads like myself drafting nine-year-old kids with all kinds of ratings. And however you do it, the bottom line, I would argue, is we get ready to take a break here on the TalkZone.com. It's the Coach John Cone with you up until 12 o'clock Central Time. Thank you so much for joining us. 888-463-6748, the phone number, YSFanForum, AOL.com, the email. I would argue, we'll kind of get into it, both today's show and I'm sure in future shows, different ways you can do it. But the key is find a way to make even teams. And when we come back, I'm going to have one suggestion that I know youth baseball coaches, most of them will think I'm nuts, but a way to make teams even. But however you do it, if you can balance the teams, you will have a successful league. We'll take a quick break. David Olson, our producer, back in a minute. You're listening to the TalkZone.com.
Let's return to more of the Youth Sports Fan Forum on TalkZone.com. Once again, here's your host, the coach, John Cone.
I love the music being played by our producer, my bodyguard, David Olson, a man whose youth sports career ended. And what grade, David? Fifth grade? Sixth grade? Or did you move on to high school?
No, I played high school sports.
Really?
Yeah, until about my junior year. I had bum knees, though, so.
The old bum knee excuse, huh? David Olson, our producer, back on the TalkZone.com Youth Sports Fan Forum with you up until 12 o'clock. Thank you so much for joining us. Brand new show here. It's our third edition of the Youth Sports Fan Forum. We've been talking a little bit about drafting teams, picking teams, how you balance things out, different ways it can be done. Anybody out there, if you are listening and you've got some suggestions on that, positive, negative, or anywhere in the vast in-between, give us a call at 888-463-6748. I was part of one league when I was a kid coaching. I think like 17, 16 years old, high school kid, coaching in Little League, one of my first experiences. I loved what this league did. See if you're with me here. And most baseball coaches, organizations I've talked to about doing this, give me the look like, oh, that's nice, coach. They smile at me, and then they walk away saying, you're a complete idiot. But believe me, I'm used to that look. But here's what I would like to see. If you want to have dads pick the teams, if you want to have the coaches, the aforementioned 28 coaches with the clipboards and the stopwatches and the dark glasses, by the way, to my first draft, just to throw a little levity into it, I actually wore the kind of the pimp hat. I brought in the sunglasses. I had a cigar. You know, so I came to it trying to put a little levity, trying to put a little humor into it. And the coaches that knew me, you know, found a little bit of humor into it. The coaches who didn't, and this is our very first draft for a lot of the dads, the first time getting into the big league of drafting at age 9 years old. They're looking at me like, who is this complete idiot? I was just trying to throw a little levity into it anyhow. Mr. Draft Guy out there. But here's what I'd like to see. You pick a team. Okay? We'll throw it right back at all these type A dads out here who are on the phone the night before trying to get extra info on certain kids, trying to find out which kids. Maybe they know a good kid that moved in the community and they're not going to tell anybody else about them so they can get the bigger team, the stronger team this year. Here's what I would like to see right back in the face of all those type A coaches out there. Okay, dads. Okay, clipboard guys. Draft your team. Okay? But at the end of the draft, on your sheet of paper, we are now going to fold up those sheets of paper. We are going to put them in the middle. We're going to spin the table. We're going to mix those 8.5 by 11 sheets around, and you are going to go in and pick out a team, and it will not be the team that you drafted. And again, this was a league that I was part of one of the first times ever as a high school kid. And I've never been a part of another league that has tried that, and I professed it before. And I thought it was a great way of getting balanced competition. Now, all of a sudden, you got these wacko coaches who are a little bit overzealous. Now, wait a minute. I don't want to make my team stronger than this guy's team over here. I might end up getting this guy's team. So think about that. That's the best way I've seen. I've never seen it done any better. You have the coaches draft, and I guarantee you, if they don't know which team they're going to get, I guarantee you those type A coaches, they're going to make sure. They're going to look down the list of the other coaches, they'll talk about, and they'll make sure those teams are balanced. What a great way to do that. And again, I've suggested it before, and people look at me like, they'll smile. Oh, good suggestion, coach. That sounds nice. And then they walk away again thinking I'm a complete idiot. So you draft the team, but it's not yours. And you're going to end up getting someone else's team. You just don't know which one. 888-463-6748, other suggestions on how to make balanced teams, even teams. Funny stories, sad stories, having to do with drafting teams. I'm sure that's a whole topic, and not just we're talking baseball right here, but I'm sure it applies to all various team sports and how those kids are divided. I'm sure there's a number of different ways that organizations do it. 888-463-6748, the phone number. Again, ysfanforum@aol.com. You can email us, the Coach John Cone with you up until 12 o'clock, I'm sorry, Central Time. We got a few minutes left if you want to chime in, and we certainly are excited about the winter sports season upon us. A lot of coaches just starting their programs here, and we talked about earlier in the show, many of the fall programs are going to continue on and practice in the winter season. If you're one of those coaches, maybe a parent out there, your kid's part of that program that is going to be working, maybe not year-round, but maybe 9-10 months out of the year, and I've been a little skeptical of that, feel free to call in and put me in my place. Tell me how it's benefited your kid, and again, I'm sure there are some positives with it, but you've got the soccer. Soccer is a classic example. And I'm a huge soccer fan, been coaching it for years. And I always rated basketball probably will always be first and number one for me, but I've always been your basic basketball, baseball, football guy. But over the years of coaching soccer, watching soccer, I played a couple of years in high school. Soccer is quickly moving up the ranks, and I would suffice it to say right now soccer might have moved past baseball and football as my second favorite sport to watch and or coach. But soccer is a classic example because, first of all, soccer for most already has two seasons, spring and fall. I'm not sure why they have to do that. Basketball, one season, winter only, at least the regular season. Volleyball is the same way. Baseball is only in the spring/summer. But soccer has to have a spring season and a fall season. Well, that's not so bad. That was kind of the tradition of soccer. But now in soccer, you, with your travel teams, maybe not your house league teams, but with your travel teams, the soccer coaches are insisting that the kids practice at least once a week during the winter season. And of course, you have to go to an indoor facility. And one topic we have not touched on, and we will not today, but it's certainly one we can get into in youth sports, is the old dollar sign. The money that is involved in youth sports. I mean, that's a whole, it has become a huge industry. No question about it. Again, I don't want to delve into it deep today, but when you talk indoor winter activities and practicing, they are renting gyms. They are renting facilities. In some cases, these elite travel teams, they've built facilities. They got enough kids. They found a couple of donors, maybe parents of some of their kids that have had some success, and they actually build their own centers. And you can imagine how expensive that is, but they have to pay for it. So built into the winter indoor practices is what once was $1,500 to play soccer for a travel team. Now you can maybe got to pay $2,300. So in addition to the time spent where you're going year round, you've also got the financial commitment too. But yeah, soccer, so you're practicing once a week, some of these teams twice a week indoor in the winter. And playing games 7-on-7, indoor soccer has become a really popular game. Actually, it's a great sport. It's a little bit different than the outdoor game because you can bank it off the sides. There was actually a professional indoor soccer league. I know the Chicago team, the Chicago Storm, folded, but I'm not sure if that league is still going. I think there is some version of a professional indoor soccer league, but it's kind of a sport unto itself. But the bottom line is the kids are going year-round. And is that a good thing? Is it a negative thing? Again, I would argue there's some positives, but maybe even more negatives to it. Too much, and certainly with some of our younger kids, too much, definitely too soon. And you don't want burnout to occur. That's the big thing. 888-463-6748. The phone number, ysfanforum@aol.com. The email address, Youth Sports Fan Forum. We're going to cover the gamut over the course of time. Again, it's going to be only once a week, 1 hour a week. We do have a website you can go to where 24/7, if you're bored, you wake up in the middle of the night, say 2:30, you can't get back to sleep. What better way? To go to your computer, turn on the internet, and go to our website, ysfanforum.com. All kinds of entertaining activities out there. Our archives from our shows will be out there, so make sure you visit our website. There's certainly a place where you can put your comments, your thoughts on there, too. We'll read some of those over the air, so make sure you check our website. Again, fanforum.com. But we'll delve into all the issues. It's going to be a lot of fun. I know there's a lot of coaches out there. There's a lot of parents. There's a lot of people that run leagues. And I don't want the show to be too dry. I don't want it to be where we're calling up every show, you know, three presidents of three different leagues and kind of very dryly going over some of the rules or some of the basics of the organization. I want this to be a little bit more of a casual youth sports fan forum. I want it to be with you, the parent, the coach, the director out there. I want to hear not just the educational stories, but the funny stuff. The weird stuff, the crazy stuff, great comebacks, emotional stories, as well as some advice and questions along the way. That's what the Youth Sport Fan Forum is going to be all about. We got to sign off for today. Don't forget to join us next Thursday and check our website. David Olson, our producer, a man who had a story. Youth football career, which ended way too soon. Fourth grade. Thank you so much, our producer, for doing a great job. Have a great day out there, everybody. TalkZone.com. We'll see you next week.